My name is Kenneth Harrell, and I'm a professor of history at Tulane University in New Orleans, where I teach Greek, Roman, Byzantine, and Crusader history. And I'm going to lead you through a set of 36 lectures which will deal with the origins, impact, course of the Crusades, which ran from 1095 to 1291. It's a subject of interest to many students of history. It's been subject to all sorts of romantic interpretations. And what I would like to do in this initial lecture is to discuss what do we mean by the Crusades and the period of the Crusades or the era of the Crusades. I then wish to address some of the popular perceptions and even misperceptions of what the Crusades are all about. And then in the third part of this lecture, I want to set the stage for our lectures to come by sketching out the three civilizations which were involved in these ventures, and that is the medieval Islamic world, the world of the Eastern Roman Empire or the Byzantine Empire, that is the successor to the old Roman Empire in the eastern lands of the former Roman world, and also Western Christendom, or what we would call today Western Europe, but Christendom is actually a better term. By the time we end with this course, we may begin to start speaking of Europe, or Western Europe as we understand it. So let me start first with what are the Crusades all about. There are eight canonical Crusades that are often taught in textbooks, and let's just stop for a moment and think about what those Crusades are. They are the First Crusade, which launched this whole venture and took Jerusalem in 1099. It was preached in 1095. It was first and most successful of Crusades. There was a Second Crusade led by two great kings of Europe from 1146-1148. Another great royal crusade with Richard Lionhearted, who's well known to everyone. That's in 1189-1192. And it turned out to be something of a disappointment because it didn't retake the city of Jerusalem, which had fallen. The Fourth Crusade, we'll find out, is a pivotal crusade. It's a crusade that was to help Jerusalem but ended up taking Constantinople, and that crusade acts as a pivotal point. And then the last four crusades in the canonical eight were led, or were supposed to be led, by two great royal crusaders, Frederick II, that would be the Fifth and Sixth Crusades, and St. Louis of France. Now, the reason why these eight are given numbers, and there are some other crusades mentioned. There's the so-called People's Crusade, the Crusade of 1101, which I affectionately call Crusade 1.5. Is that their size? These were great expeditions launched by either nobility or the monarchies of Europe, involving in some cases as much as 100,000 people, not all soldiers, but many of them pilgrims, who moved east with the avowed aim of taking Jerusalem. And that's an important point to stress, that crusades, both in their size and their objective, is probably what gets them that number, that they were intended to take back the holy places, the birthplace of Christianity, which most Christians saw as literally the center of the world. The lesser crusades, the ones that didn't get numbers, like the Crusade of 1101, which just missed it, and some of the others that we'll encounter, these were more in the tradition of armed pilgrimages, that is, the travel out to see Jerusalem without necessarily having the same dimensions of a full crusade. And I think that difference in size and also objective is very important, and clearly was understood even at the time that there were certain great crusades and then there were lesser ventures. Furthermore, it's another point I wish to stress, that the period of the Crusades closes when Jerusalem is no longer the objective. And the use of the term crusade as a general term for religious war is really an extension of the term that comes out of the Fourth Crusade and this thing known as the Albigensian Crusade, a crusade preached against heretics in southern France in the 13th century. And that leads us into a very different direction. And as I would strictly define crusade in its medieval sense, they really start to fall outside the bounds of the course. And after 1291, the crusading period is over. Well, what do we mean by all of these images of crusades? How have they been perceived? Why is there a great interest, especially in popular opinion? It appears in novels, it appears in movies, television shows, all sorts of legendary figures are associated with the crusades. Well, for one, there's a very widespread romantic perception that goes back to the Middle Ages. And many of the princes and knights of Western Europe assume the cross, that is, they pledge to go to Jerusalem and liberate the holy city, and they did so as a display of their honor and chivalry. And crusading activity over the course of the 12th and 13th century was very much a display of the nobility and chivalry expected of the military caste of Western Europe. It was really very much a family tradition. Many of the families that went out on crusade in 1096, their descendants continued to go on crusades. And there was a whole tradition of living up to the great ancestors, or in several instances, as in the case of the kings of France, trying to erase the memories of a disgraceful performance on an earlier crusade.